What will President Obama say about the housing market?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. President Obama's State of the Union address tonight will be heavy on economic themes, jobs, competitiveness, and debt. But an hour from now, we'll get a look at the Case-Shiller Index, a gauge of home prices that's likely to remind us of the continued weakness in the housing market. And that's what concerns Jeff Merkley, a Democratic senator from Oregon. He wants the president to talk tonight about boosting aid to struggling homeowners because of what he says is the failure of mortgage modifications programs like the one known as HAMP. Senator Merkley joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Well, what would you like President Obama to say, particularly when it comes to foreclosure efforts?
I'd like him to say that 300,000 foreclosure filings a month affecting almost 7 million families over the last 2 years is absolutely unacceptable, that our major national program for this isn't doing the job the way it should, and so we're going to make a renewed national effort to assist families.
Well, aren't you worried, though, that the fundamentals are not strong, that even if you were to have this improvement with HAMP, that you still have people that are really hanging on by a thread in terms of their ability to pay their mortgages, and they'll eventually get foreclosed on anyway?
When homes are being sold, and they're being sold at fire sale prices, in many cases, the family that's in the home could actually repurchase the home in what I've called a short refinance program, and it would stabilize the family and stabilize the community, and this would be a win-win all the way around. So that's another point.
I noticed just the other day that President Obama got rid of his Economic Recovery Advisory Board. It's now called the Council on Jobs and Competitiveness. Are you worried that this is a president who's moving on? He's not really thinking about foreclosures anymore.
Well, certainly I don't see how any president couldn't be thinking about foreclosures when there's been really no improvement, and 2011 looks to be very much like 2010. That's why I'm urging him to address this in the State of the Union, because let's realize that housing got us into this recession.
Right.
And as long as housing is a mess, we're going to be in a recession for a very long time.
Senator, before I let you go, everybody in Congress is talking about how great it would be to cut spending, but no one seems to be able to come up with something they'd actually like to cut. So here is your chance. Is there anything in particular you would put on the chopping block?
I think we have to look very seriously at our war in Afghanistan. I think the purposes for it have changed, and we're spending $1 million per soldier, and we need to think about spending more of those dollars back here in the United States of America.
Senator Jeff Merkley, Democrat of Oregon, thanks so much for your time this morning.
You're so welcome. It's great to be with you.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if the president says something tonight about some of the investments Uncle Sam has happily shed from his portfolio in recent days. In fact, today, the Treasury Department is starting to auction off its warrants in Citigroup. Warrants allow the holder to buy Citigroup shares at discounted prices, and the government has $500 million of them. Our senior business correspondent Bob Moon reports.
This pretty much closes the book on Citi's TARP bailout, according to Morningstar banking analyst Jamie Peters.
The government will no longer own any sort of voting shares for Citigroup after these warrants are sold.
Citigroup's back in the black, and taxpayers already got a thank you last year from CEO Vikram Pandit.
The bridge to the other side to a sound footing came from the American people, and I want to thank our country for providing TARP funding.
And besides a thank you, what did taxpayers get? This latest sale is expected to add a little more to the $12 billion the government figures it's already made. Critics worry it's also established a bad precedent, even though then-Treasury official Herb Allison insisted last year that wasn't the case with Citigroup.
There is no too-big-to-fail guarantee on the part of the U.S. government.
New reforms call for the orderly unwinding of big banks that fail, but Peters at Morningstar isn't convinced that would happen.
If it was a Citigroup-only situation, it's possible they'd let it unwind. If it's everybody, we're going to see another bailout.
In the event, that is, of an unforeseen reversal of fortune. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed around the globe right now after yesterday's big rally in U.S. stocks. The Dow jumped 108 points to close at 11,980. That's the highest close since June of 2008. Verizon said this morning it added more than 800,000 new smartphone customers last quarter, even before it starts selling the iPhone.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. and by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Well, it's only Tuesday, but it's never too early to think about brunch. And according to Crain's New York Business, New York City is the brunch capital of the country. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is on the brunch beat this morning, and she's here in the studio with me with more. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
So are people really having more brunch here in New York than in other places?
Well, the magazine asked Google, and apparently we made 35% more brunch-related searches last year than anybody else. At Sarah Beth's, which, as you know, is a classic brunch place here, has a couple of locations, brunch volume is reportedly up 10%. And the Waldorf Astoria, which charges a whopping $95 a person for its weekend brunch, says it can't keep up with demand.
$95 for brunch. It sounds like we might be well out of the recession at this point.
Well, actually, the Waldorf aside, some people think brunch is big because of the recession.
Huh.
You know, it's a way to enjoy a nice meal without spending as much as you would for dinner. Plus, there are all those deals out there where you might get a free drink or two with your food. So it's more of a bargain.
All right, Elisa, one real big question here. What's your favorite brunch, savory or sweet?
Well, I don't want to be a party pooper. I actually prefer breakfast or lunch, not the combination. but if I had to choose, I'd definitely pick a really good bagels and lox.
And they're not hard to find here in New York City. Marketplace's Elisa Roth in the brunch capital of the USA. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And finally, I don't know how much Chicago likes brunch, but it sure does like hometown loyalty. A guy named John Stone was fired from his job at a car dealership in suburban Chicago because he wore a Green Bay Packers tie. Stone wore the tie yesterday to celebrate the Packers' victory over the Bears on Sunday. His boss asked him 5 times to ditch the tie and stay in his job. All 5 times, Stone said, "I'll keep the tie." And he is now looking for a new job. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. On Twitter, at Jeremy Hobson. And this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Food scientists are tinkering in the kitchen in ways, honestly, that are kind of hard to conceptualize.
Just like an inkjet printer you have at home, instead of putting down droplets of ink, I'm putting down droplets of food.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Freakonomics of Food and the Numbers from Wall Street, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.